Hi, Vikram.
Hello, Rachel.
Hello, audience and people of the world. This is In the Grow.
People of the world.
Spice up your life. Sorry, I'm of a certain generation. That's just like
That's
the reaction.
I hear you. It's funny, is any like Gen Z listening to this would be like, what is wrong with you? They may think that anyway.
I don't know.
What
they
is wrong with
they might
people?
Know the Spice Girls. I feel like everything that was popular when we were growing up is like retro now.
I feel
so
like
it's
that's
cool.
Real unfortunate.
It's retro. We're retro. We're vintage.
Oh God.
Isn't that crazy?
No, no. I have students. I realize that were born the year I graduated from high school, like mm-hmm. college students. And I was mm-hmm. like, I am not comfortable with this.
Yeah. I have a friend that was born after 9/11. And it's
what? Oh, God. That's,
yeah.
People shouldn't be born.
We watched the Royal Rumble together, and I had to be like, CM Punk has been wrestling longer than you're alive.
Oh, no. That is upsetting.
Isn't it?
Our greenhouse truck is older than most of my employees. That's mm-hmm. fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hi.
We don't know what that was, but this is In the Grow, and today we're going to answer a few more listener questions and start in on the basics of gardening. You know, it's probably a good time to start prepping your yard and whatever. It's really warm.
Shockingly, it's weird.
Yep, it's great.
It is, as we record this, early February.
Yeah, whatever. It's,
whenever,
it's been 70 degrees in January
this
year. I don't know. Winter's faking us out. It's going to come back and hit us or something.
And I am afraid of that a little bit. And I think that's something we can cover as well. That, you know, sometimes in West Texas, we do get weird late freezes. And like winter doesn't show up till mid-March when it should be spring. And
yep.
Your plants don't love that. And there's a few things you can do about that. And we'll talk about that more. But in general, it is a challenge when it is that cold that late.
A challenge.
But right now, it's very pleasant.
It's great. It's been lovely. It's like, it feels like spring already or a fall day. We've got these nice crisp mornings and warm afternoons. It's crazy. All right.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I'm on board, but it's just early.
It is. Okay, so let's get into it. We will fool around forever if we don't just get to like
absolutely,
the point.
Yes.
So goof off. Done. All right, listener question here. This person has two large arbors in their backyard that are covered with grapevines for shade. The problem is the fruits from these, it's a flame seedless grape. The birds eat it and leave a mess everywhere on everything. And the vines are also a magnet for aphids. Gross.
Yeah, hate that.
Yeah. This person would like to replace them with deciduous vines that provide shade in the summer but let light through in the winter. Maybe something that twines rather than clings. Clings. That sounds weird. Something that twines rather than clings, e.g. not Virginia creeper.
Yeah, we have a few options. There are a lot of great vines for Texas. There's a silver lace vine that is a Polygonum albertii. That's a nice one. It has really pretty flowers that drops its leaves in the winter. I would stay away from things like trumpet creeper.
Oh, yeah. That thing is destructive.
It is. And the thing is, it would fill what this listener wants, right? It is mm-hmm. a deciduous vine. It grows super aggressively, super freaking aggressively.
But they would probably have to rebuild those arbors after a year or two.
It's potentially. I mean, they're big and heavy. They put on woody stalks and they look nice. They're pretty. But they're too aggressive. Another one that I see a lot around here is wisteria. Now, Chinese wisteria is a little bit invasive. Mm. And by a little bit, I mean
a lot.
It's a lot invasive. It's very pretty. That's the one that you're going to see in like March, early April that is covered with purple flowers, like light purple flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of it around town. There's also a Texas wisteria. It's a little bit different. It's not as aggressive. It's not nearly as weedy. And the Texas one will actually put out leaves first in the spring, and then you'll get flowers off of it late spring or early summer. So if you're looking towards a wisteria for your landscape, I would look for the Texas one instead of the Chinese one. Because, again, the Chinese wisteria is a pretty plant, but it is invasive. But that Texas wisteria is a nice option. I think one of the best ones that I like to recommend to people here is actually passion flower or passion vine. So there is a passion vine that's actually a Texas native. I believe Passiflora incarnata is a Texas native.
It's really pretty.
And it has these like wild alien looking flowers.
They're pretty psychedelic looking in a very cool way. Like they're very interesting to look at.
Yeah, they're kind of like round and they've sort of got repeating patterns in them, like bright purple, sometimes kind of white with purple markings. But they actually, you know, like passion fruit, they come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people that have grown up in Texas may have heard them called May Pops.
May Pops.
May Pop, but it's the same thing. So I'm a big fan of passion vine because, again, it is a native plant. It grows real fast. There are two or three different kinds. You kind of have to be careful about what you pick, but they will grow fast enough. They'll cover an arbor. The leaves fall off. They can take the heat and you get fruit off of them. But it's not like 5,000 grapes on a vine. It's a few passion fruit.
Yeah.
The birds will mostly leave them alone.
Oh, really? They don't like it? Too big?
I think so. So you will get some bird feeding on it, but they're going to go after smaller berries first before they go after a bigger fruit like that.
Gotcha. Well, there you go. Pick from the list. Yeah. I vote passion flower because they're really pretty.
They're really cool.
The wisteria is really pretty, too. I sometimes can confuse those with hydrangeas. They're not the same shape, but sometimes they're kind of full like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they also, the coloring looks like a purple hyacinth. Hyacinth?
Yes, it does.
Which is cool. They're very pretty, but I still vote passion flower.
Yeah.
Passion
Again, as much as we can stick with, you know, Texas natives as much as possible, we're going to do better in our landscape and they're not going to get out of control for the most part.
Absolutely. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. So we have a question from Vikram's social media. Yeah,
this one was an Instagram question,
question that I think is a good segue into also talking about gardening basics. Because we're going to be talking about, to answer this question, talking about your yard is a man-made environment and is affected a lot by us. Sure, there's some nature happening. There's squirrels, there's birds, there's dogs, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's still very, I don't know what the word is. Like, we're invasive of it. I don't know. We're always putting our little fingies in it and messing with it. It's not like you're not out in the forest and things are just dropping and naturally decaying and shedding and, you know, incorporating themselves into the soil, et cetera.
It's a manufactured, I like to think of it as a manufactured landscape, no matter what. Artificial is not quite the word. But something like
manufactured is a good word. Or manipulated.
Right. Because even if you're growing native plants, even if you're doing wildflowers or Texas natives or whatever, like it's still in your front yard. It's not out in a prairie somewhere, right? So the basics of it, just the set parameters of this is how my landscape's gonna grow, is gonna be different. So some like wildflowers that would do really well out in a field, you could put in your front yard and they'd be really unhappy.
Yeah. Although I do usually just throw wildflowers all over my yard. And they
I do
okay.
Too.
But that's because I treat my yard like a prairie and not like a yard.
Well, and the ones that come up, and the ones that don't. And that's kind of how I treat wildflower patches too. But like, I think that it's important to keep in mind that it's not the same. Like it is a different environment.
Yeah.
And so this question said, why do we plant seeds or why do we bury seeds? Like in nature, aren't they just falling on the ground?
What did they say, though? I liked the way they said it. Doesn't it just fall in then nature?
let me look it up real quick. Let me see what it says. Why do we bury seeds? Don't they just fall on the surface in nature?
In nature. When you told me it earlier, I thought you said, and nature.
And
like,
nature?
Nature's a verb. Yes, absolutely.
They fall on the ground and they nature. That's actually a great question. Like, why do we bury seeds? I think of it as sort of like the law of large numbers. That's part of it, right? So in nature, if you have, say, a grove of cherry trees, I'm just going to pick something. It doesn't matter what it is, right? A bunch of cherry trees growing somewhere out in the middle of a field. They're going to drop a whole bunch of seeds. Birds are going to eat them. They're going to get spread around, all of those kinds of things. And if even a few of them come up, wherever they come up, the species has done its job, right? It's reproduced. Mm-hmm. It's made more cherry trees. If you've got a cherry tree in your front yard and you're like, you know what? I would really like to plant and grow another one. You want to make sure that seed comes up, right? Because you're probably not going to go out and throw out 500 seeds of cherry trees in your yard. You're going to put one where you want it or a few where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just leave seeds on the surface, some of them blow away. Some of them get broken down by the sun. Some of them get eaten by whatever.
Birds, you know, squirrels.
Yeah, chipmunks, dogs, like you said earlier, your neighbors. It doesn't
prairie
matter.
Dogs. Foxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet foxes would eat those. And so, yeah, you're going to lose some for sure, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think we bury seeds because we want them to grow where we put them.
Mm-hmm.
And it reduces the risk of them drying out because it's if you water them well, there's moisture in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
The nutrients they need are right there. Anything that might eat them is going to have a harder time of doing it. So in nature, yeah, it doesn't matter if a whole bunch of seeds lay on the ground and 95% of them get eaten. Because the plants, the new next generation still comes up and they grow wherever they grow and it doesn't matter. But in your mm-hmm. yard, in your garden,
mm-hmm.
you want things to grow where you put it. And you want to give your plants the best chance possible to come up. And there are cases where seeds do get buried in nature.
Mm-hmm. Like, squirrels.
Exactly. No, 100%. The only reason we have oak trees is
squirrels.
Squirrels forget where they put them.
Yep.
Right? They bury them to save, they bury acorns to save them. And then they have no idea where they put them because mm-hmm. squirrels' attention spans are not very long.
No.
And so we get big flushes of new oak trees because squirrels bury them. But like an oak seedling really needs to, or an oak seed, an acorn really does better if it's been buried. It needs all that moisture. It needs mm-hmm. a lot of things.
Or else they just dry out and you keep tracking them into your house like here.
Yeah, they get stepped on. They get chewed up. Stuff happens,
yeah.
right? And so there are cases where burying things is correct because something may bury it out in nature mm-hmm. or a bird will eat a seed and then poop it out or, you know, a dog or a canine out in nature. So like honey locust, it's a common tree around here, a mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
They, if you look at sort of the distribution of them through the prairies, you can see where the coyotes go
mm-hmm.
because the coyotes like to eat honey locust and mesquite beans.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just sort of track their progress. And wherever the migratory pattern of the coyotes are, is where mesquite trees and those things will come up. And a lot of times the dogs will bury it, right? Like they'll scratch around when they poop and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff gets buried and then it comes up. So I think, do we have to bury seeds? No, mm-hmm. not really. They'll come up whether we do or not, but not as many of them will. And mm-hmm. maybe not in the places we want them to.
Yeah. Yeah, so the burying is a purposeful thing is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but it is an interesting question. I think it's a good discussion, too, of, like you were saying, when you think about preparing your landscape, don't think about, well, you do have to think about how would this plant grow in nature, because mm-hmm. that does factor into mm-hmm. it, but it doesn't really stop there.
Right.
Because, again, we are in a manufactured artificial landscape,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. If you're in a city... Just think about whenever they built your house, whether it was last year or 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they came in and they took away topsoil and they built a foundation and all of this. And so you're not growing in native soil. You've got trees that cast shade where a native plant in West Texas probably wouldn't have much shade over it. And
right.
you've got things that block the wind and the water moves differently. So we have to consider the unique environment of growing plants in a city.
Sure. But there are ways for you to take advantage of natural processes, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it's time to prep, right? So, mm-hmm. like, you can see in my yard, there's a bunch of dead cosmos and sunflowers and a patch of it that's uh-huh. just, like, chilling. And it's all gross and dead looking and my yard looks crazy. But I think right now is the time I'm probably going to go in and mow that stuff down and hopefully whatever seeds that dried out on the plant are going to get incorporated into the mulch from
mm-hmm.
mowing. And then hopefully I will have flowers again. Of course I'm going to put out more seeds too, but I'm hopeful that by leaving that stuff to overwinter that I'm going to get some return and not have to like do as much work to put flowers out there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a great point, too, that if you can save your seed or just leave some stubble through the winter,
mm-hmm.
like there's nothing wrong with that. There is this tension, I think, when we're trying to design a landscape between how natural do you want it to be and how much like does it need to be kept?
Yeah, I know a lot of people want like manicured looking yards and you can't do what I am doing if you want that aesthetic, because it definitely does not look manicured right now. And it hasn't for quite several many months now.
No. And it's so much. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's so much harder to get that like well-defined manicured look if you're also trying to be like conscious about water use and mm-hmm. about pollinators. And Not that you can't have both, but it's a lot harder to have both.
Yeah.
Because when we think about a manicured landscape, we think about, you know, perfect round little shrubs of flowers or your green boxwoods and things like that. Very sort of English styles of landscape with straight lines and all those things and rows.
Hedgerows.
Which, if you kind of leave plants to their own devices, especially out here, they don't love to do that. They're going to grow in little clumps and patches, and you'll have grasses in between them. And I think that's a beautiful style of landscape. But if you like go drive outside of town, look at what the landscape looks like. Mm-hmm. And if you want a native landscape, I mean, like
tufts of grass.
Yeah, that's what it's going to look like.
And tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
And some yucca.
And some yucca. Just sticking up every now and then.
Yeah. It's great.
You know, it's I think it just depends on your goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite landscape styles, actually, and some really effective uses I've seen are like formal design styles. So like straight lines and a lot of repetition and some of the things like the rules you would follow for like an English style landscape, but using like native West Texas plants.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like, you know, here's your hedgerow, but instead of using that, using like square boxwoods, they'll put in like Texas sage.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have that line of shrubs, but it's a native plant or a well-adapted plant instead of like someone with like a flat top boxwood, you know?
Is now a good time to trim those, to prune those back? Because I've noticed a lot of places I drive, you know, like you said, people like to use the Texas sage as landscape plants and especially on like the perimeters of their yards. And so a lot of places I've been driving lately, it's really hard to see around the corner because people's sages are overgrown and like are in need of a good trim. Is this a good time to do that?
Yeah, I would think so. We're getting into sort of pruning season in my mind. You know, whether it's your roses or your Texas sage or even a lot of your trees, you could prune a little bit now. Your oaks were kind of getting out of pruning season,
right,
in my opinion.
But that's because oaks have a special
like a disease
window
issue, right? So that's really when it's real cold. But everything else, it's probably a good time to think about.
It's like doing your spring cleaning. It's like it's time to prune all that stuff back, give it a haircut so it can put on it has room for new growth.
Yeah. And you've done the thing where you've left it through the winter at this point. So it has, you know, helped with cold tolerance and things like that. You've left that stubble on there. But yeah, I think getting into February, through the month of February into early March is a really good time to start thinking about pruning your perennials. Whether it's your sages or your roses or anything in between. You don't want to do it. This is going to be kind of a weird year to make that recommendation. Because right now, as we record this, it is so warm. If we prune heavily right now, I think a lot of plants are going to start thinking, oh, it's spring.
Yeah.
You know, because we're in the 70s. Our nighttime temperatures have been in the, you know, above freezing.
Yeah.
Like we would normally see in March.
Yeah. And but we have to be careful because like we looked up the almanac frost date.
Yeah.
Earlier before we started and it says the last frost is supposed to be April 2nd.
Yeah.
So even though it's already warm, we might get faked out and then
we're not done.
Yeah. I guess we have to wait and see what's his name? Puxatawny Phil.
Oh yeah. That's this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Friday. I think Friday.
Is it the 2nd?
I think
February 2nd is Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day. Yeah.
We got to see if we're going to have more winter.
Yeah.
How do people even know if a groundhog sees its shadow?
I don't know.
How do they determine that?
Can you ask them?
Can you read groundhog mind? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. And if you can, we should be asking that guy instead of the groundhog, the psychic guy who can speak to...
Who's just telepathic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. But you're right, though. Early April, even honestly, depending on where you look... April 10th is the number that I kind of go with. I tell people if you want to be real safe, especially with like your warm season veggies like tomatoes and stuff, like wait till Mother's Day to put them out. Some years that gets you a little late, right?
Yeah.
Some years our last freeze will be the end of March. But
it also, like you said before, depends on your goals. Because like I have a neighbor who mostly grows in containers. And he told me the other day, he's like, I'm going to start my seedlings and stuff inside now.
Yeah.
Because it's already so warm and I'm going to probably keep them in containers anyway. So.
Yeah. And you just bring them in if you have to.
Yeah. And like I've seen him, he has like all these, you know, like the material for a windshield cover, like to block the sun. He has like that kind of thing that he puts over his plants when it gets really cold.
Oh.
And it's funny.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
He's got a whole system.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But it is time, I think. I like that a lot. I'm thinking about that more now. That That would be a really good system for like insulating your plants.
Yeah, in the fall, like, you know, it was so warm and then we got like a random freeze and then it got warm again.
Yeah.
He kept his eggplant alive like that and we got like a whole nother harvest off of it because he was sharing.
That's impressive.
You know? Yeah, so like it was going off because it was super warm, you know, after we made it through the hellscape times.
No, gosh.
And it cooled off. Yeah. And so like it started putting off fruit again and then it was like, it's just so cold. And,
yeah.
You know, we're like, oh, that's the end of eggplants. Nope, there was a whole nother round of
eggplants.
Totally fine. Yeah.
So whether you're thinking about like late frost protection, and those are good ideas, you know, you can pick up frost blankets, you can use old bed sheets. We've talked about before how incandescent, larger old Christmas lights are great options for frost protection. If you want to start your garden now, or if you're thinking about doing containers or whatever, and you're like, you know, I think I'm going to risk it because it is so warm, have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good thing this time of year. It's like, you never know.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I'm not going to play it safe. I'm probably going to put out seeds and
just go for it.
But my plan is usually that, like, if it dies, it dies. Like, nature gonna nature. I'm just going to put out more seeds and try again.
Yeah. And I think that's also a super viable way to do it is like, it got, you know, late freeze got me this year. I'll just start over. And that's fine.
Like I've said before, I'm pretty much a chaotic gardener.
I like that.
I don't need like a whole lot of rhyme or reason. I'm just going to put seeds where I kind of want some stuff to go.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of like leaving stuff to overwinter too, because I saved seeds. And so I'm not spending.
Yeah.
It's just that I saved the flowers and let them dry out and they made seeds. They have seeds in them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw those out there. And if they don't take, I'm going to throw some more out there. It just gives you more options to experiment and you can spend your money on some other stuff.
Absolutely. I think that's
good. Or other seeds, you know.
Yeah. And again, I kind of like that idea of like, just take a swing at it.
Yeah.
If you look at the 10-day forecast and it's like, oh, it's going to be like in the 70s. Like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not throw some stuff out and either plan to protect it if it gets cold or just be like, okay.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. That experiment didn't work. We'll try again. I think those things are totally fine. And then, you know, other things to think about right now, and we'll cover this more in this series of like, what are the top 5 or 10 things you should really be thinking about early in the season as you play in your garden? What are the basics of home gardening? It's just like, how are you going to get water to stuff, right? Do you need to start amending your soil? Are there places you need mulch? Do you need fertilizer? Do you need all those things? I think this is a really good time. And honestly, whether you're listening to this, you know, when it runs on the radio or when we post it or in the middle of July, I think having a good plan in your landscape and in your garden is the best way to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that plan doesn't have to be like, I'm going to plant this here and like another 6 inches. You don't have to have like a grid. Like your plan.
But you can.
But you can.
I've tried that. It just doesn't work. It's just not my style.
It's not mine either.
I think it works really well for people that like to plan that way.
Yeah. But also, I think what you're talking about of, oh, well, I've left these, you know, heads to dry and produce seed and I'm just going to throw them out. That's a plan, too.
Mm-mm.
And I think that whatever your plan is, whatever kind of garden you want to have, like having that in mind of how you want to approach it, what you want to do will go so far in making you successful, whatever that looks like for you, you know, in your garden. You'll meet your goals if you know what those goals are and you can start working towards them.
And even if you're a chaotic gardener like me, it's still important to have a plan of, like, you should take note of which side of your house gets more sun and which side gets more shade so that you can plant plants in those areas accordingly. Like, I don't want to plant a tomato right where it's going to get sun all day long and never get any shade. I'm probably going to plant it on this side, on the east side of my house, so it gets some nice morning sun and they get shaded through the afternoon for when it gets hotter. Like that kind of planning you should think about. And like, yeah, maybe you don't have it down to a grid, but, you know, have knowledge of the areas in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even though we're saying wait, because things are probably still going to get cold, it's a pretty good time for cold hardy plants. Like you can plant like turnips and radishes and peas and stuff like that right now, probably.
Herbs and other greens would be fine right now, too. Mm-hmm. I think that is a good time to think about. Because one good thing is April 2nd, April 10th sounds, I think, to a lot of people, who aren't here, mm-hmm. like, oh man, that's late to start my garden.
It sounds super late to me.
But that also does give you time to get a cool season crop in mm-hmm. the spring. You're absolutely right. Like, you could go in with your cool season stuff like today,
right,
early February, yeah. late March, or late January, early February.
Yeah.
And have plenty of time mm-hmm. to get a good crop before yeah. it gets too hot.
Yeah. I wouldn't do, like, as far as herbs, I wouldn't do like dill or your hot weather herbs.
No, but just, right.
like you said, cool season. Like, your basil's not going to be no, happy that won't right be now.
But like, winter time would be fine.
Oh, yeah.
And a few others would do really
yeah.
well.
Yeah, for sure. That's exciting. And now I'm like, herbs. I want some herbs. yeah.
herbs.
And like you said, amending your soil. If you've got a bunch of leaves you haven't raked up, which I don't rake my leaves. So more power to you if you also don't. But now would probably be a good time to mulch them.
Yeah.
Just go over them with your mower and put them where you think you need some nitrogen mm-hmm. or not nitrogen, some carbon, right?
Yeah, both.
Both yeah. yeah. Whatever. Just put them wherever. And it's also good moisture, mm-hmm. like moisture retention. Maybe you don't want too much, but if you do get some water, those leaves will hold it in.
Oh, they will. For sure. So no, and all of those things are great considerations for now. Just doing the prep work. Thinking things through, making sure like you've got hoses where you need them, making sure your mm-hmm. beds are built like you need them. It's a good time to really just think about the process of what your garden might look like for the spring.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, go plant some cool season stuff, throw out some seeds, like just have fun with it. I think so much of it, you know, and as someone who has studied this for a long time, I tend to, I think, default to, well, these are the best practices, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. It's so much of it is just experimentation.
Yeah.
Just like trying new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think something that I have to remind myself is that like the plants don't read our textbooks.
Right.
And so there are things that, yes, we have kind of shown that this is better, but then you'll find a plant that absolutely doesn't follow the rules
mm-hmm.
because they didn't know they were supposed to, right? Like nobody told them.
They're just going to nature.
And they're just going to get out there in nature. And so like sometimes you can throw stuff out early.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we do get a late frost, it may be well protected enough or whatever that yeah. it's perfectly happy.
Those leaves, I still have onions that are alive
yeah.
right there by my porch because they're just covered with dead leaves.
Yeah, and they're perfectly happy.
Yeah, somehow they survived the cold snap we got where it was like 8 degrees.
I had, in the garden at Tech, I had aloe vera. It finally got taken out, but we'd left it in an outside pot, and we kind of forgot about it. It was in a spot where we weren't thinking about it, and it went through a freeze, and I was like, oh, no, it's dead. And I went out there, and I was like, oh, no, it's flowering.
Mm.
That's not right.
Yeah.
And then we were the next freeze that came along, that aloe is going to die. Oh, no, it's fine.
Mm.
Finally, the 2 degrees got it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big pile of mush now, but it stayed alive 6 weeks longer than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I think just the trial and error, everyone's yard and garden's going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Your unique specific microclimate's going to be a little different. So like, don't be afraid to just try stuff.
Yeah.
Just try stuff.
I think we need to get out of the mindset of it being so precious because
right.
even if it fails, like you're still doing something good for your yard.
Yeah.
Like that, the seeds aren't going to hurt anything if they don't go.
And then you try again and
yeah.
you learn a little bit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the process too.
Yeah.
The failure, I think, is as much part of the process as the success.
Mm-hmm.
And it just leads to future success. So I think that anything you can do right now to just get yourself excited about going outside.
Yeah.
Even if it's just going and like raking up leaves and spending some time in your yard and enjoying the weather. Like, I think that's great. I think those things we should be doing.
And actually, I'm more excited just from our little talk because I know when we started, I was like, meh, whatever. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm going to do this stuff in my yard. It's time. Excitement. I like it.
Yeah.
So here's to future successes in your garden and yard or planters and pots in your window, whatever
yeah,
you got.
Absolutely. In the next few weeks, we'll get into some of the details of, you know, what that can look like and specific considerations and
mm-hmm.
what are the, you know, hopefully just hearing some questions that other people have about their gardens and mm-hmm. just, I hope this was encouraging to you to get out there and just try some stuff and start getting ready for spring.
Yeah, I'm encouraged. And if you haven't yet, you should go take our KTTZ listener survey. You can check that out on the KTTZ website, which I've just said a bunch of times, the KTTZ, but it's KTTZ.org. Yeah. If you didn't hear me again, KTTZ.org. And take that survey. Tell Vikram and Rachel how much you love them.
And I think you can win some swag.
Yes, you can. And, you know, let us know what you think about the proposed schedule changes, all that good stuff. So, you know, your input matters. And the more we hear from you, the better we can serve you. So, yeah, go do that.
Please and thank you.
Thank you. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.